Pull over, lean in. It's time for the Soft Shoulder Podcast. I am your host, Danette Relic of Radical Creative Sanctuary, inviting spaciousness for your mind and your heart. Welcome. I'm glad you're here. The Soft Shoulder is your time. Your time to slow down and fuel up on self-love support, so you can make the most of your gorgeous life. Join me here. Everyone needs a soft shoulder. Hello, sweet listener. Imagine that you are driving a car. Maybe you are driving a car, but imagine that you're driving a car and you're on a multi-lane freeway. There's lots of traffic, and up ahead, you see a driver in a, let's say, a persimmon Volkswagen. I know. And this persimmon Volkswagen, they're swerving all over the place. They're like kind of swaying, then they move over really quickly. They're like two cars in one lane, and then they're like, they're just all over the place. They're totally not obeying the rules. And so far, nobody's hurt, but boy, oh boy, this makes you nervous, right? Or furious, or even outraged. What are they doing? Are they on the phone? How are you supposed to concentrate while they're driving like that? So you begin to lean over so you can get a better view. Who is this person? Your hands on the steering wheel, they start to lean as you lean. And pretty soon, the chartreuse Chevy behind you is honking, meep, meep. And it's sending you a little message to alert you that you are swerving into their lane. How annoying is that? Can't they see who the real problem is? This is clearly all Persimmon Volkswagen's fault. Now, imagine a freeway where every vehicle is solidly in their lane, following the rules of the road, as you were all taught. Everyone's doing the speed limit or just slightly over if it's safe. And if they need to exit, they signal in advance to let you know. And you've left yourself some buffer room around your car, which is great for everyone. And they check to make sure that it's safe. They merge confidently. They exit efficiently. Everyone is getting where they want to go in a smooth, harmonious ride. Perhaps you've had this experience on a freeway, and perhaps this is actually what driving is like where you live. Where I live, there's this thing called the Canadian standoff. So if you haven't heard of this, this is when two or more cars are both prioritizing being polite over following the rules of the road. So, you know, they're both stopped, they had a four-way stop. One car should be going first. We all know who has the right of way. But instead, they wave their hand with generosity. They're implying, oh, no, no, like, after you. But the other car does the same because they know they didn't have the right of way. So they wave back, no, 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 I insist, you go ahead. And after far too long at this, one car will spurt out forward, but then it halts because they can't fully count on the other car. They're not really sure if the other one's going to go. They might even stop and then wave again. It's a pile of, this might sound ridiculous to some of you who don't know what I'm talking about. It's a pile of confusion, and it's kind of adorable, but it's also at best inefficient, unnecessary, and at many times this is unsafe. So for my international listeners, I admit, am I exaggerating? I don't know. Kind of. It doesn't happen all the time. This is not like every Canadian intersection. But I have to say, I've personally witnessed this on more occasions than I can count. I have participated in this even while walking, like going into a door and like the both of you won't fit. And it's like, oh, no, you go. You know, like those the cartoon, that Chip and Dale cartoon with the little chipmunks. And they're like, oh, no, no, you, no, you. And like they're spending all their time at the door. So like it seems harmless. Isn't this just being nice? Isn't this just caring about other people? You know, it's possible that people who like to think of themselves as nice can actually be causing harm with their blurry boundaries. And is it possible that you are one of these people? Perhaps. Let's go back to the freeway idea. So, have you ever driven on a freeway where the cars are not doing the speed limit? So, imagine they're not using their signals. Or they signal all the time. They've got their signal on and they never turn it off, just in case. Just in case. And they don't seem to have any regard for the concept of lanes, because that would seem selfish to take up a lane and speed along towards your destination like some kind of egomaniac. Sometimes a car hugs the shoulder and waves for another car to join into their lane because there's room for everyone. I don't need this whole lane. Like, how would it feel to drive on a freeway like this? You don't know who is in what lane. They're swaying and you're not sure what their intentions are. And if you asked, they might say that they're swaying because, well, the other cars are swaying. So, you know, we need to make space for the other swaying cars at the last minute. Or maybe they're swerving and swaying because, like, that's just what everyone else is doing and they don't want to look bad and they want to be part of the group. Or my personal favorite is when people will sway out of their lane without being asked because they figure the other cars secretly wanted them to, but were afraid to ask. Do you see how ridiculous this behavior is on the road? I hope so. And like, how is that ride going to go? How much energy would it require to drive on that swervy derby freeway where no rules are being followed? You have to watch. You can't go too fast. It's a matter of time before somebody gets hurt, and it slows you down. You may end up occasionally guessing correctly, but kind of like the, you know, Canadian standoff, what's the destination? What is the goal here? Are you getting to where you want to go? Are you getting in the way of other people getting where they want to go? And what is the impact of this behavior on you, and what impact are you having on others? So I know this is a touchy subject. Don't get me wrong. Politeness as a Canadian value is one that I selectively enjoy as a Canadian. And I feel an absurd pride when a visitor to Toronto says how nice everyone has been. I love strangers showing kindness to one another. But if the point is to be kind and to connect, you would be having a conversation, not in separate vehicles blocking traffic. So the context matters here. For many people with blurry boundaries, this is the conflict. It seems cold and selfish to focus on your own lane. Do you think this? Do you think this even a little bit? Even if you know that I know that I'm supposed to focus on my lane, but it just doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel nice. It's still in control of your behavior. Even when you know better, that thought, that feeling that I don't want to be rude, it's still controlling how you act. I want to be clear about this. So what I'm saying is this is not about every car for itself. This is about what we can control and what we are responsible for. This is about the bigger picture. This is about clarity. This is about trust. Where would you feel a stronger sense of trust? On that loosey-goosey, mind-reading freeway where everyone's swaying around and like no one's playing by the same rules, or one where everyone is taking responsibility for their own vehicle and communicating effectively? I mean, where would you rather be driving? Your life is at stake if you're driving on a freeway, and your life is at stake in your life all the time. Trust is so important on a freeway, and it matters everywhere. Everywhere. This is your life. This is your relationships, your business, your community, your family, your lovers. Trust is foundational. And if you listen to episode 3, When You Can't Trust Yourself, you know that trust matters at the source of it all. It starts with you. Boundaries are a really big topic. It's not just a container, and it's not just what many people think. It's not just walls. Also, this is about respect, because if you are constantly making space in your life in anticipation that someone else in your life won't be able to take care of themselves, what does that say about how you see that person? What is the worst thing that can happen if you allow them to have their own experience? That they actually see their impact? That they face the consequences of their choices? That they have an empowered experience of their own lives? And who are you to say that you know what they are capable of? So, boundaries. This topic is huge. I know that. I know it is a big topic in all of the coaching work I do. It is everywhere. Once you start looking at it, once you start naming it and realizing what it is that's going on, why you maybe you're feeling resentful in your life, you realize how big this is and how it's the self-love practice of all self-love practices. It starts here. So I know that I will be coming back. I'll be speaking about boundaries in many episodes. Once you start looking inwards, once you start listening to what you want and deciding to make yourself a priority, when you decide to make yourself a priority, you will likely begin to notice all the places in your life that have not had healthy boundaries, if you had any boundaries at all. So take a deep breath, because this work is layered and it can be confrontational. It can be very, very challenging. This is where your self-love muscles get some really good conditioning. As my Pilates teacher said to me when I complained that my muscles were hurting, your muscles are working. Yes, we're going to do 6 more. So don't shy away from boundary work. This is really good for you. It's good for your self-love muscles. These will make you strong. When you have a strong core, when you have strong muscles, things are easier. That's what this is for. The boundaries are designed to make your life easier. So especially if you have not been paying attention to yourself in the past or for a long while, if you have built your life prioritizing others at the expense of yourself, when you begin to come back in balance, when you begin to establish boundaries, you might find that others in your life might not be cheering you on. That's why this is challenging. That's why people avoid doing this work. There are some people who benefit from you not having healthy boundaries, right? If you have kids, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I mean, if you were a kid, you know exactly what I'm talking about. They figure out which parent has the weaker boundaries, right? They figure out how to soften those boundaries and how to push through them. And if it works once, they'll try that tactic again. And why wouldn't they? They benefit. They get the candy or, you know, like whatever toy on the way out of the store. They get the extra screen time. They get to stay up late. Even though they have a billion other toys, they get another one. Like, they benefit from those weak, watery boundaries. And kids are not manipulative little monsters. They are learning parameters. They are figuring out how to solve problems. It's their job as developing humans to test boundaries. And even though you know you are enforcing a boundary out of love for their own safety and well-being, that doesn't mean they're going to like it. And they don't have to. They may have a lot of feelings about not getting what they want, but you as a caregiver are the one who's responsible for enforcing that boundary, right? So kids are one thing, but let's move on to a slightly more balanced power dynamic here. So let's imagine that you're a teenaged server in a restaurant And there is another server friend there who always says yes to cover your shifts. When you find out there's a party you want to go to, she doesn't hesitate. And she doesn't need the money. And she's not even benefiting from the extra shifts, but she just feels bad. And she nods and she listens to everyone who tells her how important their life is. So she agrees with them. Their life is important. And she helps them out by doing them a solid, by taking their shifts. And everybody likes her. And they tell her she's the best. She's a lifesaver. Their lifesaver. And you get invited. Let's say you get invited to play pinball with a cutie from your shop class. And you've had a crush on this cutie forever. And you say yes immediately to this pinball invitation because we all know server wishy-washy is going to take your shift. She's a lifesaver, right? But then imagine that she doesn't for the first time in years. She doesn't because she listened to this episode of the Soft Shoulder podcast and she realized that her building resentment inside was in fact a sign that she needs to draw some boundaries at work. So she says no. Ugh, why now? You really, really like this shop class cutie and you really wanted to play pinball and you already said yes. Why does she choose now to start saying no? So do you think in that moment you would congratulate her and say, wow, server wishy-washy, I see you honoring your boundaries and putting yourself first. I know this is a challenge for you. Way to go on taking your life back. Probably not. Probably you would be upset about her suddenly taking a stand because you're not benefiting from this anymore. So let's take, you know, teenage you and server wishy-washy on the freeway. Basically, this was you frequently swerving directly into her lane whenever you wanted to make a last-minute lane change. And she has been frequently responding by swerving elsewhere and just getting out of your way. And because both of you have been doing this routine for so long, you've gotten used to it. So while it's not a rule of the road, it becomes this unspoken agreement. I jump into your lane, she gets out of the way. It's just the way you drive. You swerve when it serves you, and she makes room. Isn't she great? But this time she's obeying the traffic laws, and it's confronting. And it's upsetting, it's startling, frustrating. Because now you have to take responsibility. You have to remember what the rules are. And you need to make a choice. You need to signal. You need to check your blind spots. You need to see if it's safe. And if it's not, then guess what? You don't get to make the last minute lane change. You have to wait and plan better next time. It's inconvenient for you. The only people who get upset about you having boundaries are the ones who benefit from you not taking care of yourself. Come closer. This is tough stuff. This boundary stuff is work, and it's really important. So how do you begin? What does it even mean to stay in your lane in life? And what if you've been swerving so much and surrounded by swervers so much that you don't have any idea where the lines are? It begins with responsibility. Is that a sexy word for you? I don't know. It's a big word. How do you react when you hear it? Does it sound daunting? Does it sound liberating? In Jack Canfield of the Chicken Soup duo, he has a book called The Success Principles. And the very first success principle is take responsibility for your life. It has to start there. Because once you realize that you are responsible, then you are free. Once you are responsible, you can solve problems. You have the power to make changes in your life. So I've read many self-help books and many books and articles about boundaries. I think the one I would highly recommend if you're seeing yourself in this and you feel like there's a lot of work here to do, Melanie Beattie's book, Codependent No More, is a classic, and it's a definite go-to if you haven't read that already and you think you might benefit from that. But on the note of responsibility, so I have this funny book report here. I took this book out from the library and I was enjoying it. I was skimming it and taking notes, and I hesitate to recommend it, even though there's parts of it that are really useful. And the reason why is because, so in a lot of the books that I've read, like about creativity and growth, perhaps you have come across this as well. Some authors speak about God with a capital G, and some talk about the universe with a capital U. And some of them have, you know, very specific religious language. And some of them will invite you to say like, hey, I know that maybe God doesn't resonate with you, but just imagine it as like a higher power or a force of nature or whatever. And they kind of make it accessible. I guess I've become accustomed to authors doing this. So I was reading this book. The book is called Boundaries, When to Say Yes, How to Say No, and Take Control of Your Life. This is a book written by Henry Cloud and John Townsend. So I loved the title, and then I got in and I was like, okay, a lot of God language in here. And I'm mentioning this only because I know for some people this it's difficult to absorb the content when there's a strong spiritual component. And this one went so far into it that I actually laughed out loud. I was sitting at a coffee shop and I was reading the book and I came across something about Satan, and I thought they were kidding. And then I realized they weren't kidding. And I was like, wow, I think this is the first for me outside of like a real religious text to have like this, you know, practical self-help book about boundaries and then a mention of Satan. So I just feel like that's an important disclaimer to throw in case you're looking for book recommendations and you're like, Danette, you didn't tell me about the Satan thing, and that's a bit of a deal breaker. So grain of salt with that if you wanted to take a look at this book. But what I'm going to share with you is a list, a wonderful list by these two writers about like how to take stock of what you're responsible for. And you might find this challenging. Notice. Be kind to yourself as you're listening. Notice which parts you get defensive around, what parts you're not willing to own just yet. It's just you and me here, so it's okay. It's okay to get a little frustrated with this. Listen to your body. So I'm going to list a whole bunch of things in the first person of what... No, I'll read it to you. You are responsible for your feelings. You are responsible for your attitude. You are responsible for your beliefs. You are responsible for your behavior. You are responsible for your choices. You are responsible for your values. You are responsible for your limits. You are responsible for your talents. You are responsible for your thoughts. And you are responsible for your love and your desires. I do love that list from Henry Cloud and John Townsend of what we're responsible for. It outlines it, and it really, for me, it just, I notice some of these things are easy for me to take responsibility for. And other places I'm like, oh, what are my thoughts right now? Oh, I am responsible for the thoughts I'm thinking. What I love in here too is that these aren't things that you want to delegate. You don't want people, if this is challenging for you, think about it this way. You don't want other people responsible for your values. You don't want other people telling you what is important to you. You don't want other people telling you how to see things or how to feel about things. These are yours. Claim these. There is huge freedom in claiming these. What I love about this list also is that it includes talents. That like gets me kind of weepy because We are responsible for the talents that we are born with, that we have the potential to cultivate and bring into the world. This one hits me so hard because this is the driving force behind the work that I do and the coaching work that I do, is to see these gifts that we all have shared and come to life. We're responsible for the lives that we have and the talents that we're given, the gifts that we're given to give to others. I really love that one. So this is a great place to begin. It's a great place to journal from, to get to know who you are, because you will, and I will speak about it on other episodes, when you start designing the boundaries that are about what you're requesting from other people, what's okay and not okay from other people, you need to know where you are. You need to know what your lane is, what you're responsible for. This is what you need to know. What do you value? What is a deal breaker? I know this can be challenging. It can also be a lot of fun. This can be challenging. So as I said, be kind with yourself. And if you need help, if you're like, oh my goodness, this is overwhelming. If you need support in designing and upholding boundaries in your life, even naming and discovering them, if it's been so long, you're like, I don't know what I value. I don't know what my attitude is. I don't know what choices I'm making. This is where having a coach makes all the difference. Did you know that you can book a call with me to see if we're a good fit? I am open for new clients this fall. So if you're ready to say yes to yourself and to make some serious changes in your life, boundaries are the powerhouse of changes, head over to my website now. It's www.radicalcreativesanctuary.com. You can book a call there on the homepage and we can talk. You don't have to do this alone. Speaking of not being alone, on Instagram, Someone Worth Loving 2018. This is bringing me so much joy. Thank you for the people who have been participating in this Instagram challenge. If you have not heard of it, if this is new to you, head over to Radical Creative Sanctuary on Instagram. There is a September challenge that's been going on. I know that we're mid-month, and many of you, I find it adorable and relatable, feel that if you didn't start at the beginning, it's too late, or if you missed a few days, you have to go back and catch up. Guess what? There are no rules to this. This September self-love challenge is that. It's about loving yourself, connecting with yourself. You get to show up as you are. You get to show up when you show up here. Join anytime. Do one day. Do every other day. Do the day that happened last week. It's completely up to you. Go with what resonates. Some of you have really been enjoying making this a daily practice. And I want to say, for those of you who are hanging out, I know a lot of you have saved that image. Do whichever one feels good. The daily practice is just one approach. Self-love is doing it your way, starting where you are. Start with what's fun. And thank you for those of you who are participating, as I said, and welcome to any new listeners who have found me through that challenge. Remember, you are someone worth loving. It all starts with you. Love who you are and stay in your lane. We'll talk to you soon.